I think it's really about making another kind of cultural evolution. I mean, we're not going to go back to the Ice Age, and furthermore, we shouldn't romanticize the Ice Age. People died, you know, infant mortality rates during the Ice Age were unacceptable, and there's lots of good things that have happened since the origins of farming and agriculture and industrialization, which we don't have to avoid. I think the trick is to understand the processes by which the stimuli, the aspects of our environment interact with our bodies and affect our health. And for that, an evolutionary perspective is necessary. So, for example, I wouldn't argue that people should run around barefoot necessarily. I mean, I enjoy doing it. But what we can learn, for example, from barefoot running is not, you know, that, you know, taking off your shoes suddenly makes you injury free. It doesn't, actually. If you take off your shoes, you're just as likely, I think, to get injured as somebody who wears shoes. But we can learn about running from barefoot running, because running is a skill, and a shoe affects the way you run, and it affects the way you feel the ground. And so by studying barefoot running, we can learn what is a more natural running form that may help runners, whether they're shod or unshod, learn to enjoy themselves and avoid injury.
One of the things that I really started thinking about, I've read a lot about sugar and dietary issues, partly for my own health, but also because of what I do for a living. It's a message that if you talk to any nutritionist, they will lay it out pretty much what you tell me in the book and what other folks who are thinking about our bodies have to say. It's not a message that we want to hear particularly. When New York City, for example, tries to limit the size of soda pop that is sold in a fast food store, or we label how many grams of fat are in something, we put it on the wall with calorie counts, which they do in the city of Seattle, we accuse our government of being a nanny state. And, you know, we are free. We are Americans. We have the right to kill ourselves.
Well, we do. But the problem is that we didn't evolve to make the kinds of choices that people are having to make today, because we didn't evolve to have environments that were loaded with calorie-rich food and you know, labor-saving devices like escalators and elevators and cars. And so people need help making decisions in their own self-best interest. And I think we need to respect people's rights to eat unhealthy food and get sick. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with – well, it's not fine, but it's people's right.
Okay.
But on the other hand, many of us, if you put a piece of cake in front of me and a piece of celery, there's no question I'm going to go for the cake. Or it'll take incredible willpower for me to pick the celery. Just as when I'm in the airport and I see a stairway and an escalator, every urge in my body and brain tells me to take the escalator. And I have to force myself sometimes to take the stairway, sometimes because I'm afraid of just being, you know, labeled a hypocrite.
Right.
That's a reasonable motivator for me. So we need help. The only way we're going to do that is through collective action. And, you know, one extreme is a nanny state, right, where you forbid things. But the other extreme, the other solution is what many people call sort of libertarian paternalism or soft paternalism, right? Soft libertarianism, which we help each other make decisions without coercing each other. So, for example, I would argue that Mayor Bloomberg's big gulp ban was actually a form of a nudge. It was not a nanny state, because he wasn't preventing people from drinking soda. He actually got a great conversation going.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wanted 36 ounces or whatever obscene amount it was, you simply could buy two, you know, 18-ounce sodas, right? So he wasn't banning people from drinking soda. It was just making it just a little bit harder for people to drink soda in those quantities. Taxes form the same thing. We tax cigarettes. We tax alcohol. I mean, we're not having a debate about cigarette or alcohol taxes anymore. Why shouldn't we tax junk food? Why is it any different?
Well, it's interesting. I have you in here just about a month before Election Day. And one issue that's going to be before voters in Washington State is whether to label foods with GMO, whether they're genetically modified contents. There's a lot of scientific discussion about what that means to our health, but it brings up that issue of knowing what is in packaged foods. And you might, like many nutritionists do, you might argue we should eat fewer packaged foods in general. But do you believe that we have the right to know everything that's in those foods?
Well, I mean, if you're going to pay for something and you get to the right to choose which product you're going to have, shouldn't you have the right to know what's in it? That seems like a reasonable freedom. And furthermore, shouldn't we also help each other understand what's in that food. So, for example, one nudge I would advocate is to ban false advertising of food. So, for example, you can buy foods that legitimately and actually do not have fat in them, and they're advertised as fat-free, and people buy them on the mistaken assumption that eating those foods will prevent them from being fat. But, of course, your body actually turns sugars and carbohydrates into fat, sometimes actually more readily than it turns fat into fat. And many fat-free foods are actually more fattening than foods that actually contain fat. Now, is it acceptable for manufacturers to deceptively, essentially, in that regard, label foods as fat-free? I'm not a philosopher or a politician or a lawyer, and I'm not charged with answering that question, but I think that's a public discussion that we need to have. But I also think that evolution plays into that discussion, because we have to understand that we are manipulating people using ancient evolutionary urges, the urge to take it easy, the urge to have calorie-rich food, but at the same time bombarding ourselves with environments for which we never evolved to cope with. And so there's an evolutionary origin to the problem that we have, and without understanding those evolutionary processes, we will not find our way out of this.
Well, just a last question comes back to evolution. You begin your book with this great discussion of you know, how we came to be upright, and the apes that descended to us, and then, of course, that proverbial missing link, and what that is.
Which doesn't exist, right?
Yeah. Right, that doesn't exist. But I'm sure everybody asks you this question, but I've got to ask it as well. Will we not evolve to be creatures that subsist on high fructose corn syrup and food devoid of any kind of nutrition?
Well, I mean, it's possible we could evolve adaptations to cope with our essentially loathsome diet. But the problem is that for that to occur, for natural selection to adapt us to our modern diets, you need to have several basic factors. The first is you have to have heritable variations, which help individuals cope with those factors. And secondly, there has to be effect on reproduction. The fact is, for example, most people who get, say, type 2 diabetes or osteoporosis or cancer tend to get these diseases after they've reproduced, after their children have reproduced. They're often grandparents at this point. And so even if there are heritable variations which affect these diseases, and there's no question of it, there's not strong selection on these heritable variations because it's not affecting our reproductive success. And furthermore, even if that were the case, even if selection were operating, it would still take, you know, hundreds of generations. I mean, are we going to sit around and wait 100 generations for us to finally be able to eat high fructose corn syrup laden foods? I don't think any of us think that's an acceptable solution. So we're here and now, and we need to think about how to solve these problems here and now. And I'm afraid that natural selection isn't really an option.